characteristics from God. He was the most meek. He was the one who heard the word of the Lord. And he wasn't fast to speak. He was fast to listen and slow to speak and slow to rest. Even when they came at him, even when they complained against him, even if they gave him evil answers, every time there was a strong reaction, it wasn't against the people, but it was such pain in him, and he humbled himself before the Lord. And then he gave Moses the correct word that was for the whole church. It was such a fight that he wasn't fast to wrath, that he received the word of the Lord to lead the congregation. In verse 3 in James it says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And there's this other side. On one hand, it could be a small rudder to give us into the right direction. It can speak to us through brothers and sisters. That's what I needed so many times in my life. I often experienced or did things and did my own thing here, and I could also do this, and really got caught up in many things. But when I came to the meeting and the Lord spoke through the saints, it often was a very small thing, and it really aligned me again. Yeah, it was surprising. I could do so many things for hours and be far away. But such little thing that one of the brothers said, I was able to turn. That's so precious. And with our tongue, we become like this. That's really glory. Yeah, we want to go in the right direction. But the Lord also warns us very strong that the tongue can also do the opposite. If I tell something one-to-one and that I might harm them, there are some very big examples in the people of Israel. When the Korach was rebelling, in his heart there was jealousy that Aaron is allowed to serve the Lord and that they can serve in his presence, and they wanted to do it too. But he didn't go to them and talk to them, but he took other people. He lit a fire with his tongue. He took Datan and Abiram. And he told them, look, what Moses is doing is not right. And then they took another 250 when they came to Moses. And then it says it was a kind of a number of people. Yeah, they were already angry. Through the emotions that came up, they couldn't see clearly anymore. And they came to Moses and they accused him. But many of you know the story, how it ends. There was a strong judgment that they there was such a harm that was caused. Yeah, the families of Dathan and Abiram died. And in the end, the people of Israel were so influenced. And it says the next day. Okay. Yeah, that wasn't true. The Lord was judging. And there was another judgment. And there was such a great harm because of such a small fire. And Moses and Aaron, they wanted to compete with them. And they didn't like what God had assigned. Our tongue lit such a fire. But it is set on fire by hell in verse 6. Yeah, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. We really have to be careful what sets our tongue on fire. What comes up in our heart that comes out through the tongue. Is it the Lord working in us, or is it our own thing? In one place it says, it don't take testimony just of one person, but several people. Like if something evil said. If someone says something, my heart is so quickly accepting it. Oh, this is really evil and false. And then I want to tell other people. But that's what happened with Korach. That's what is being warned about. That we shouldn't take complaints so easily. And I read something. It says, whoever speaks in court first is right, until the other person comes. And that was often, like, someone told me his part of the story. And then when I talked to the other person, I realized it was very different. And now I really try to be slow and not to judge so quickly. Yeah, otherwise there could be so much harm. I also want to read you two verses from Proverbs. Which? Proverbs 19. Proverbs 17:19. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. And then Proverbs 27. Verse 5. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Love conceals. Yeah, how does this kind of fit together, these two verses we just? The previous verse was how who loves transgression loves strife. So with love you conceal when you talk to others. If you did something and I don't tell Rainer about it, that is love. But if you do something that's not okay, and I don't tell you, that is a love that carefully conceals. When we see mistakes, then it's not always love to not say anything. If I just tell Rainer what Simon is doing wrong, then that's the wrong way. We have to think about how can we help the brother. It is not the way that I tell many other people first. If I do this, if you tell other people, that's not right. No one of us wants to be like this. But this can happen. If we just keep telling people, we really want to tell people what mistakes other people. Our flesh loves to talk about other people. Look what he did. It even says that such, we like to hear these evil things. The one who talks badly, it's like it goes deep. If you tell someone he did this and that, you should say, oh, I don't want to hear this. Or I will ask them, did you talk about it with that person? Oh, and then I say, no, don't tell anybody else. Really come to the Lord and talk to the person. Otherwise, the enemy can come in and put on this fire, set this fire. Sometimes on the outside it looks nice, but you can easily set a fire. We shouldn't open a door to the enemy. How does this come about? That we really want to tell people. It's really set on fire by hell. The enemy wants to set our tongue on fire. Verse 7 in James. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I have to ask, is there poison under my tongue? That's really what we have to ask ourselves many times. If I speak something now, what comes out? Is it deadly poison that sets a fire? Because the enemy wants to influence our tongue. He is the father of lies. He is really the father of lies. When he speaks of his own. If we also speak like this, then we are also his children. And he is also the serpent. He came as the serpent in the beginning with Adam and Eve and brought his poison to kill them. And they believed him. He was very cunning and deceitful. It wasn't so easy to understand. When we hear it, we shouldn't fall for it. But how about us today? Can we see through the enemy? Is it poison or not? What comes out? There are often the little things. It's not so often, I'm going to speak a big lie. But very often, the poison that comes out is mixture. I say something that sounds nice, but I want to influence the other person that they don't want to do. But I want them to do it because I'm going to pack it in a way that it sounds good and try to influence them so that it pleases me, but it will bring harm to both of us. Yeah, we might kind of look our own advantage. We can say it one way or the other. You can add something or leave something out. So, like, that's what the media do. Yeah, they just leave a small detail out and they say the truth and just add a bit of lie. And then you can influence people to do something that they never did before. Yeah, before you would have said, you're crazy, why would I do this? But they make it a mixture with a lot of truth and just a bit of lie. And they add the poison, and then it goes completely wrong direction. And yeah, you get manipulated. The majority. What you see in the media is manipulation. We shouldn't be like this. Our speaking should be different. We need a speaking that's pure, that comes from the Lord. And it's not enough to just pray to say the right thing, but if your heart is wrong, then it doesn't work. The tongue and the heart belong together. Like it says in verse 15, in Matthew 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Yeah, what the heart is full of, that comes out of the heart. Yeah, in this way, our tongue is a mirror of our heart. Often, yeah, you can see your heart based on what you say. If someone talks a lot, you often know what's in his heart because it gets exposed. Often the Lord showed me after I said something, the Lord said, look, what's this? Then I knew I have to deal with this. Just to say things that are correct without dealing with the heart is not enough. That is not life. I know in my head what is right, but my heart is in a different place. Yeah, that's what religion does. Yeah, we need self-control. I know people who had very good self-control. They had very good speaking. But when in their body and spiritually, they didn't have the strength anymore to do it, and it was destruction. Yeah, and to suddenly see what's in their heart was so surprising. Yeah, if you talk rightly, but you haven't dealt with your heart. Yeah, and then suddenly these things come out, and yeah, and we pay attention that we don't step the wrong way, but the solution is to deal with our heart, that good things come out, yeah, that we can do differently than speak about the Lord, what the Lord did, what He's shown us, then you don't need so much self-control. to be careful what you're going to say. Because your heart becomes a fountain of life. That's what the Lord has to do in us. In Isaiah 29, yeah, that they just act hypocritical. Yeah, the Lord wants to change our heart. He wants to transform us. It's not like our heart is kind of dealt with in a certain point that only good things come out. Because the flesh is always there. And there's always the temptation. Yeah, in trials, the enemy tries to use it. That's why we still need the self-control. Yeah, if someone tells me something and I want to react very strongly, then you have to ask the Lord, what should I say now, not to react through the flesh. We have to pay attention that our flesh is kind of stirred up and what comes out is not right. Yeah, we need the self-control, meekness, and change in our heart so that our speaking is changed, so that the Lord can give a lot of blessing. We can look at a few things where the Lord wants to use our tongue and our speaking for. In Proverbs 16, 21-24. And there you can see both things together, the speaking and the heart. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. But the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Do you want to have such a tongue? Amen. So that we can heal through our words. That our tongue doesn't speak evil. Yeah, there's under the tongue of a bride is honey and milk, it says. Yeah, when the saints visit you, you can say give them honey and milk. That's good for the soul and brings them to the Lord. Amen. That's very good. And Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. A well of life. Yeah, it comes out. Yeah, I wanted more to spring up. Sometimes, yeah, I have a difficulty to let it come out. And in the end, the Lord really showed us that we should be kings. And there's something very important. Yeah, we should keep knowledge. Yeah, the speaking of the kings is also mentioned in the word. In Proverbs 16:10-13. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. For a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Let really God's word be on our lips. There are many situations where we have to judge. We don't judge the saints. But still we are called to judge. You don't judge your neighbor and your brother. But in daily situations, you have to judge what we should do, what someone did. As a king, you need the wisdom, like Salomo, to discern what's right and what's not right, in order to judge the world too. When the enemy does things, we have to judge it too. It's not about judging the brother, but yeah, we can really learn this. And in Corinthians it says, we are called to judge the world. And in 1 Corinthians 6, we shall judge the world, yeah? Yeah, we are supposed to judge this world. In verse 3, and we have to judge the angels. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. And then it becomes practical in our daily life. Yeah, and if the world would be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Yeah. Our tongue should speak the judgment and the truth of the Lord. If you don't practice this today, and you have unfruitful words, then we will be judged. Yeah, we have to. Where do you want to be in the end? Do you want to be judged? Or would you like to judge the world together with the Lord? Don't you rather join this judgment? I don't want to stay the same. Yeah, I want to be dealt with by the Lord. I want to learn self-control so that I can rule and reign with him and judge with him the world and be a king with him in the thousand-year kingdom. That's the goal. Oh, I have one more point. I actually had to prepare chapter 2, but in the preparation, the verse kept coming up. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yeah, don't judge so quickly. Yeah, mercy, seek mercy, yeah. Lord, we consecrate our tongue to you and our hearts. We pray that you deal with us thoroughly, that we can be in your image, in our heart and in our speaking. Preserve us, yes, put a judgment, a watchman in front of our mouth. That we don't cause harm, but we build up. Lord, bless us all in this exercise to be perfected. Thank you, Lord, for your word that heals us. We pray that you save us in our tongue. We praise you, Lord. And thank you that we want to, be a sharp sword for you. We give you our tongue. Yeah, we want to give life with our tongue. And joy. Lord, we thank you for your speaking to us. Thank you, your word can bring fruit in us. Lord, we pray that you write your Lord into our hearts, your law. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's very compact word. It's the word of the Lord. It's intense, but let us hold on to the word and chew it. Yeah. We now have lunch. And we have some Asian food. And we will have plastic cutlery and paper plates. Yeah, just to make sure you recycle. In the evening, we have lunch in the meeting hall.